listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Jennifer Stagg, and we've had so much fun talking about dating within the LDS community, within the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and all the quirks that come with it and the complications that come with it. But now we're going to be talking about a little bit more serious topic, and that is dating after divorce. And divorce is something I think that you never get married thinking, I'm going to end up divorced. I don't think anyone wants to be in that situation. But it's a situation that certainly a lot of people find themselves in, even within the LDS community. So I want to thank Elisa Snell, a dating coach, and also Amy Stevens for being here today. Thank you, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
Now, this is a situation that is tough, I think, for people to talk about. There's a lot of pain and heartache involved in this, and it can be really difficult to move on after something happens like this, where your marriage is ending, to think that you can find love again. And I'm certainly not speaking from personal experience, but I've had a lot of friends and family members mm-hmm. who have gone through this, and it's devastating to see them sort of stumble through this process of trying to date again after divorce.
Sure. Yes. And we are able to help them find hope and faith that they can move forward. Even just getting out there on the first few dates is probably the most awkward piece of all of this, and remembering some of those little things of etiquette. But overall, there are a lot of people in this situation, and they don't know how to find each other. And so there's lots of different ways. There's online, there's singles wards, but the biggest thing that we encourage people to do is just remember that they're not alone, and going through what they have does not define who they are, and they have so much good. One of the things that Elisa taught me was to look at what does the divorce and how you handled that say about you as a person, not the fact that you are divorced. Don't focus on that, but focus on how hard you worked to save the marriage, how much you were able to do, even if it didn't work out.
Another part of what singles struggle with after a divorce is that they don't trust themselves anymore. And so oftentimes that puts them in a position where they disengage and stay back from dating. And I want them to be able to move forward with faith. And so one way to do that is to focus in on what really are the big contributors that lead to divorce, and what are the important things that you really need to focus in on. And a big part of what I teach is focused in on empathy, self-control, and personal responsibility. Typically, when a marriage ends prematurely, it's because somebody was insufficient in those three areas. They were either lacking in empathy, they were lacking in self-control, or they were lacking in personal responsibility. And of course, that doesn't happen in all cases. Some cases, people just decide they don't want to be married, and they disengage, and they're fairly peaceful with each other. I think those are always the sadder tragedies, because it really could have worked. There was enough of the components, but they weren't committed to each other. But in a majority of cases where it really goes wrong, it's because of that lack of empathy, self-control, and personal responsibility. So if people can learn to look for those qualities and develop them in themselves, they can again develop faith and confidence in the fact that they can make a good choice, and that they can predict a better outcome, and it really can work this time.
If there are children involved as well, sometimes people feel like, well, who's going to want, you know, to get into a relationship with somebody who has children? That complicates things. It makes things more difficult. But there are a lot of people who want that, right? Or maybe they're older in life and they haven't had the opportunity to have children themselves. And so they would love a spouse who already has children.
An opportunity to love someone else's children, you know, one more person to love their kids. I think it's a great thing to look forward to. People who don't have empathy tend to not be good candidates for that. But people who do have empathy, they tend to be really good step-parents. I think also for the singles who are worried about marrying someone with children, I think the pressure of feeling like they have to act like a parent and that they have to discipline the kids is part of the fear that keeps them from pursuing someone who has children. And I really want them to focus more on, I get to be one more person who loves these kids. I get to be one more person who supports the spouse in their discipline and supports them as a parent. If a child is under the age of 10, maybe under the age of 12, you could step in as a disciplinarian in the family. But for the most part, I don't want people to worry about having to play that role right away. I want want them to focus instead on just loving those kids and trusting that the power and skills they need to succeed with that child will come. But first, let's focus in on just developing a relationship and loving those kids. And for singles and for people who are divorced, that is a much easier picture to embrace, a much easier goal to embrace, and it's a lot less frightening to focus just in on developing a loving relationship.
And many of our clients who maybe weren't really excited to date someone who was divorced because they've never been married themselves find it pleasantly, surprisingly good because they're able to see them as a parent. They're dating someone who has been in a committed relationship, and they notice that it is a different scenario than dating someone who has never been married and maybe has some of the attachment, avoidant, or anxious styles.
I think also, we've talked about in the last two segments with you how people have sometimes really unrealistic expectations about what their spouse should be. But I think at least what I've seen is that after you've been divorced, you're kind of like, I know that people aren't perfect, right? I know that people have problems. And so this is something that I can live with rather than going, okay, I'm looking for this perfect person who has the perfect body and perfect job and perfect hair. And by the way, they've got to have great teeth and they never smell ever.
Exactly.
You know? But when you've been divorced, you're kind of like, I know that people have body odor, right? It happens.
Exactly. So I had a client years ago who almost didn't go on a second date with the guy who later became her husband just because he had bad breath. And at the time, I said to her, well, you know, it's just a date, the first 6 weeks of dating. So I talk about a 5-stage dating philosophy, and I like people to stay focused on the stage they're in. And stage one is just having fun, making them feel great, and practicing good techniques. I'm like, he fits the qualities on your top 10 list, tentatively. You are not going to get better at dating people who fit your top 10 list if you don't have experience dating people who fit your top 10 list, and if you don't know how to make them feel great. So it's just a date. If you still are bothered by his bad breath by the 6th date, at that point you can decide if you're interested or not. But I would just encourage you to continue going on up to 6 dates with him because it's good practice. And so anyway, when we got to the 6th date, she said, he's amazing in this and this and this way. There are dental procedures to fix bad breath.
There's
gum. And they moved forward, you know, and they later got married. And so a lot of times there are solutions to a lot of these problems. Singles often think about the problems of a relationship when they're in stage one, and that's going to cause detachment, not attachment. And that's going to prevent them from developing important skills and discovering that they really can work through problems. So in terms of creating a secure attachment, I've got to see how to fix problems. I've got to see that I can fix problems and we can resolve things as a couple. And if I'm always in stage one, I'm never going to develop that confidence. So I like people to focus in on the skills specific to each stage they're in, and solving problems is stage 4. So stop thinking about the problems of a relationship in stage 1. Just focus on whether or not there's empathy, self-control, and personal responsibility, and trust that you'll know how to solve the problems when you get to stage 4.
And oftentimes people who have been divorced have some good problem-solving skills because they've been in some difficult situations. And so we have clients who said they'd never date someone who had been married before because they'd never been married before, and then end up eating their words because they meet someone who's amazing and shows them how great it can be.
Well, and love is the goal here. Attachment is the goal. Connection is the goal. Lasting love is what we all want and need. And so in this process, if we can put aside our fears and we can grieve our dream, because we all have this dream of how we wanted things to
be. Absolutely.
And we keep thinking that we're going to somehow capture that dream, or the Lord's going to give us that dream, or, you know, we deserve that dream, or something's wrong with our life if we don't get that dream. And they keep holding off for this dream. And that's getting in their way of discovering God's plan for them. And He has a plan for all of His children. And that includes the children of divorced families. And if you can be somebody who loves another child loves children and loves other people's children, love is the goal here, and you will find tremendous satisfaction. So many of the singles that we work with, the one thing that's bringing brings them into us is because they really want to be a part of something meaningful. They want to feel connected to something bigger than them. And if their plan is getting in their way, they need to learn to let go of their plan and trust God more.
And Amy, being in this situation is what prompted you to start this company to begin with, right? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. And Elisa is part of that equation. So for me, I found myself divorced 11 years ago and found that it wasn't real easy to meet the right kind of person that I wanted to be with. I tried online and I dated quite a bit from that. But I realized that my own thinking errors were getting in my way. When I met Elisa, she taught me step by step a lot of the things that were holding me back. And most of those things were just the way I was viewing dating and the world and the fears that I had from my divorce. And I couldn't get past a certain point in relationships before I would end things out of fear that they might have certain issues that my former spouse had. And I just didn't want to go down that path again. And so what Elisa was great at is helping me stay in the stage that I was in and saying, you know, you're not going to move beyond to the next stage until you can see the qualities that they have and problem solve those qualities. And when I did that, I started staying in relationships. I started having more meaningful experiences and eventually met my fiancé and could not be happier.
I'm so happy for you. And there are a lot of people who may think, I blew my first chance. I had a chance to be happy and it's over now. And now it's, you know, I just have to accept that I'm going to be single now. I kind of blew that first chance. But what message would you send to those people who are really feeling hopeless about the stage in their life?
Their thinking is contributing to them feeling hopeless. The problem is, if I think in terms of all or nothing thinking, perfect and flawed, failed and succeeded, I'm getting away from the reality that God does not think in terms of those kinds of absolutes. I really do not believe that the Lord looks at our experiences the way we do. I believe that He looks at our experiences as part of what helps us to develop and grow and progress. And it isn't so black and white, all or nothing. And so when we look back with all these regrets and shame, I don't believe that that's the way that the Lord would want us to do it. It's part of our experience here to develop and learn and to experience the bitter and the sweet. So let go of the past, give it to God, and just move forward with confidence that He has a plan for you and He is invested in your happiness and that you will have the power and skills you need to succeed now. What if thinking of looking back and looking too far forward is going to create more fear, more anxiety, and more powerlessness? Just live in the present and trust that you'll have the skills you need now.
And I remember feeling a lot of those things after I got divorced and wondering how I fit into this family-centered church. But I had to work through my own fears and challenges. And when I did, I got to a place of peace. And I got to a place where I realized what I had been through was part of my life plan to become who the Lord knew I could be. And I wouldn't trade anything in the way that my life has played out just because of how it's blessed me. And the Lord truly does consecrate our afflictions for our good.
Okay, Elisa Snell and Amy Stevens, thank you so much for joining us today. The website is, and they can help people in all different types of situations. And maybe it's even going to be a mama calling you saying, I have a single child as an adult who needs
that.
Help. Help them.
It's a great Christmas present.
Oh, there you go. Exactly. The holidays are coming. Well, thank you so much, ladies,
Thanks for
being
having
here.
Us.